Amen. I'd like to ask you, if you would, to open your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 18. Matthew, chapter 18. Last week, we just covered one verse, and we're going to start there tonight and continue on. So Matthew, chapter 18, if you'll find verse 10. We're going to study verses 10 through 14, take our text from there tonight, and be reminded that he leaves the 90 and 9 to find the one. If you're able, let's stand for the reading of God's word. Matthew 18, beginning at verse 10, Jesus says, "Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99, and goeth into the mountains, and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish." Our Heavenly Father, as we come before your throne of grace, I pray you would open our hearts and our minds to your word tonight. Lord, our flesh may be weak, may be weary, but our spirits are willing. And I pray that the Spirit would win out tonight. I pray your Holy Spirit would move among us, convict our hearts. I pray that decisions would be made for Christ tonight and that you would get all the glory. Help me now, for I'm nothing without you, and I ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. As a reminder, we see the caution from the Lord. Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. We spent a little time talking about angels last Sunday night and the fact that angels are busy ministering. We know how Jacob saw the angels ascending and descending. We know how the angels ministered to Peter. They ministered to the Apostle Paul, attended them. We know how they attended and ministered to the Lord Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry. And angels are certainly busy about the Lord's work even today. And as the Lord gives a caution to despise not one of these little ones, remember how the disciples wanted to know who is the greatest in the kingdom? Who's going to be the greatest? And he said, unless you be converted, become as a little child, you won't enter into the kingdom. And so we need to have that faith like a child. So when we're talking about these little ones, certainly we can apply it to a child, literally, physically children. But I think it's more than that. It's those who are little in the faith, or maybe those who may be little in the church, those who are of low esteem. We need to be careful that we love everyone in the church. We need to be careful that we don't look down on anyone in the church. And we kind of have our mindset like these people are important people in the church and these people are less important, but it's not like that at all. We're all one in Christ and there's unity. And there aren't great members of the church and little members of the church. We're all part of the body of Christ through him, through grace, and none of us are anything without him. And so we need to be careful. Be careful. Take heed. Look, perceive, stare at it. Look very carefully that you don't despise one of them, because they have in heaven angels that are always beholding the face of the Father. They're watching out for these little ones. And then I want you to notice how this goes into verse 11. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. He says, these angels are attending the face of the Father, ready to do his bidding, to watch out for these little ones, because Jesus came to save those that are lost. Listen, God's purpose in the angels ministering is always the salvation of souls. We think about angels being guardian angels and keeping us from trouble, maybe saving us from a car wreck or something like that. But in reality, the purpose of the ministering is not so much about our physical well-being, but more about our spiritual well-being. God's purpose is to save lost sinners. Christ came to save lost sinners. That's why he came, and we need to remember that. We need to be careful that we watch out for those little ones. We need to be careful Romans 14:15, but if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. That idol's meat, we need to be careful, that we need to remember that Christ died for them. He came to save lost sinners, and we don't want to be an offense to anyone that Jesus died for. 1 Corinthians 8, verses 9 through 13. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 9 says, but take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. For if any man see thee, which hast knowledge, sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish, for whom Christ died. But when ye sin so against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ. Wherefore, if meat maketh my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. And friends, we need to be more concerned about the souls of others. We need to be more concerned about their life and their walk for Christ than we are about our own liberty. It's a be careful, don't despise them. So we see that caution, and we see the focus of salvation. The Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. That word lost is a serious word. It literally means to destroy fully. It's translated to die or to lose, to mar or to perish. Jesus said in Luke 19:9, this day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is the son of Abraham, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And we all know Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. And he climbed up in that tree so he could see Jesus. And Jesus said, Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house. And he said, salvation has come to your house because he is the son of Abraham. Why? Because he believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And Jesus said, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And can I remind you tonight, dear friend, if Christ did not come and seek us out, we would all be condemned forever. Thank God that Jesus came to look for us. So because there's a warning, a caution against despising these little ones, and there's a warning that they have angels beholding the face of the Father, and he said, because for the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost, I'm concerned about your eternal soul. Look now at verse 12, if you would. How think ye? If a man have 100 sheep and one of them be gone astray, doth not he leave the 99? And goeth into the mountains and seeketh that which was gone astray. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about sheep that have gone astray. It's something that sheep are prone to do. Sheep tend to wander. Sheep need a shepherd. If sheep don't have a shepherd to keep them together, they will scatter abroad. That's what the Lord said when he looked at Jerusalem. It's what he said when he looked at Israel. It's what he says when he looks at the world today. They're like sheep that are scattered, having no shepherd. And he came to be the great shepherd. He said it about Israel in Jeremiah 50 and verse 6, my people hath been lost sheep. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray. They have turned them away on the mountains. They have gone from mountain to hill. They have forgotten their resting place. The Lord condemned those priests and the prophets of Israel and the leaders of Israel, the kings and others who had turned away from the Lord. He said, they have scattered my people abroad because the shepherds didn't do their job. They didn't stay in the word and point the people to the word and keep the people following God. Because of them, the people are scattered abroad. And now Jesus comes and says that there is a lost sheep, that the sheep are scattered yet today. Psalm 119. Verse 176 says, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. Listen, it's not just the nation like the nation of Israel. It's not just the nation like the United States of America that we've been scattered abroad like sheep. It's individuals that have gone astray from God. It's individuals who have chosen to rebel against God. Listen, we are born with a sin nature. For as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We're born with that sin nature, but we also willfully sin against God. We choose to rebel against God. Isaiah 53:6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Listen, dear friend, we it's not just nations that scatter and are astray. It's not just lost people in our community. Friends, even we ourselves have turned away from God. We've gone astray. But when one goes astray, the Lord goes after them. If a man have 100 sheep and one of them is gone astray, look at it. Doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? I want you to consider, friends, that though there be millions of believers in Christ today, Jesus will still pursue the one who is lost. Different people try to make different applications to this passage of Scripture. Some would say that this is talking about the church, and in this context that he's speaking of the church, and when it's talking about one going astray, is you got 100 in the church, but there's one saint who's backslidden and he's gone away, and the Lord will leave those that are faithful to go find the one who's gone astray. And certainly there's application there, because there ought to be a concern for those who would leave the fellowship. There ought to be a concern for those who are not faithful to the Lord in the church. Amen? Well, we ought to have a burden for those that are unfaithful in the church. But certainly, when you consider what Christ says, the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost, I have to believe the primary application of this is those who are lost in their trespasses and sins. And the Lord has gone to all lengths to save the lost sinner. Listen, Jesus Christ left the glories of heaven. He lived a perfect and sinless life. He was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. And when the fullness of time was come, when everything was accomplished, Jesus gave himself over to the smiters. He gave his back to those that would scourge him. He allowed those soldiers to put the crown of thorns on his head. He allowed them to spit in his face and pluck the beard from his face. He allowed them to beat him. He allowed them to scourge him. He allowed them to nail him to that old rugged cross. He allowed all of that to happen. He went through it all so that he could save one lost sinner. You see, I believe that if it were only one, he would have done it all to save one. Doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountain and seeketh that which is gone astray? In Ezekiel chapter 34, Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 11 and 12. And in the whole chapter, the Lord deals with Israel as lost sheep. But we see the character and the nature of God. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. Listen, we understand the primary application that there's going to come a day that God's going to seek out Israel and he's going to fulfill his promises to Israel and he's going to bring them back to himself. But I want you to get this, friend. That's the nature of God, that he seeks out his own. He goes into the mountain and he seeks out the lost sheep. And the Bible said in verse 13, and if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that one, more of that sheep, than of the 99 which went not astray. They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Jesus didn't come to seek out and to save the righteous. He came to save sinners. And when someone is saved, he rejoices more. It's an amazing thing for me. You consider the shepherd who has divided up his flocks into hundreds, and he's there watching over the 100, and he's watching, and he knows them, and they know him, but there's one who's gone astray. Throughout the day, he keeps track of them. And when he figures out that one is missing, he leaves the 99 and he goes and he seeks and he searches and he goes until he finds that one. And when he finds that one, he rejoices. He takes that sheep and puts it on his shoulder and he carries it back to the flock and he rejoices all the while. He's jubilant in his heart. He's joyful in his heart because of this one that is saved, even more than the 99 that he left. It's an amazing thing, the love that God has for one lost sinner. Look with me to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, find verse 3. Different time, different account, different context, but just look at this. Luke 15 and verse 3, and he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not he leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he called together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Listen, God in heaven rejoices when one is saved, and the angels rejoice in heaven over one that's saved. And it ought to be our hearts to rejoice when one is saved. There's something wrong with this in the church today. When we hear a report over someone praying to trust Christ, their Savior, there's three or four little amens here and there. There ought to be rejoicing over someone who's saved. It ought to be the greatest joy that we hear that some lost sinner who was on their way to hell has come to Christ and now they have eternal life. We ought to rejoice. We ought to have exuberant joy in our hearts. It ought to overflow. Amen. It shouldn't just be some little amen. Yeah, that's good. That's nice. Friends, it's more than good. It's more than nice. It's the greatest thing in the world. Amen. It's why Christ came. It's the whole purpose of the great shepherd coming. Amen. We need to examine our hearts. I think all of us can be guilty of it. We want to see dozens come to Christ. Let me say that one more time. We want to see dozens come to Christ. Amen. Last year at Bible school, one young lady, one little girl, repented of her sins and trusted Christ as her Savior. Somebody might look at that and say, well, it was just one. I promise you the multitudes of angels in heaven were rejoicing for the one. And we should too. I know this because I stand up here in front of you all the time and I hear the responses, I see the responses. It grieves my heart when there's not more joy over somebody being saved. It does. It grieves my heart. But I can't imagine how the Lord feels when he sees our lack of joy at the salvation of souls. The one who came and died for us, who saved us, has saved someone else. And we're not overjoyed by that? How that must hurt his heart. Why is it? Why is it that the joy would be rejoicing in the Lord and rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repenteth? More than over the 99 who need no repentance. I got to wonder who those 99 are that need no repentance. But I want to tell you, friends, I'm praying for lots of kids to get saved at Bible school this week. I'm praying that not only do we see kids get saved, but we can reach their moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas, whoever they live with, that we can reach their house with the gospel. And you know, God's still in the business of saving souls. He still answers that prayer. When a sinner repents, Jesus still saves. Back in our text in verse 14, he says, "Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish." We know that the Lord is not slack, as some men count slackness, that he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We know that the Lord's will is for all would come. We know that Christ died for the sins of the whole world. Amen. He died. He's the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Amen. We know it's not his will. We know that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. 1 Timothy 1:15 says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, Amen. Of whom I am chief." His purpose was to come to save. The shepherd left the 99 to seek that lost sinner. 1 Peter verse, or chapter 2, please. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. 1 Peter 2, verse 21. "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." I want you to get this, friends. Jesus Christ is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He is the Lamb of God who gives his life a ransom for many. He is the sacrifice that was made to pay for the sins of the whole world. Once and for all, he offered himself as a sacrifice for all mankind to be saved. He is the Lamb, but he is the shepherd. He laid down his life for the sheep. He was the ultimate sacrifice, the one and only sacrifice, and yet he is the shepherd of our souls. And the one who came to seek and save that was lost, he came to find us. And when we repented and trusted in him, he saved us and we returned unto him. The great shepherd, the good shepherd, the shepherd and bishop of our souls. "Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones." You know, we know the value of something by how much somebody's willing to pay for it. How much should we value anyone who comes to Christ? Well, Christ valued them enough to give his life for them. Don't despise the little ones. Don't despise the children. Don't despise the children of God. If Jesus would leave the 99 to save one, how much should we value them? Amen. Never keep a child from Christ. Amen. Never hinder the lost from hearing the gospel. Never be a stumbling block to another believer, to another brother. We need to be gospel-minded, friends. But so amazed sometimes. Anybody here that's ever tried to share the gospel with another human being knows that the distractions are going to come. The more door-knocking I do, the more I hate dogs. I promise you, if you knock on somebody's door, every animal in the house becomes demon-possessed. Amen. I'm telling you. I mean, the little yappy dogs and the giant dogs, and I'll never forget the time I knocked on a door, and when they opened the door, a dog that was this tall just came out and hit me in the chest with its snout, and I thought, I'm dead. I'm going to die right here. Sometimes those dogs are a terrible distraction. Sometimes there's kids that are a distraction. Sometimes it's bugs or animals or the neighbors. Sometimes it's somebody else in the family. There's always these hindrances, stumbling blocks. But God help us if we're the hindrance or the stumbling block. I have seen people who are supposed to be Christians try to save somebody else from hearing the gospel. Amen. Somebody they know is trying to share the gospel with somebody else they know, and they're worried that that person's going to get offended. They're worried that they're going to get their feelings hurt. I don't know what they're worried. They're worried they're going to get saved, I guess. So they come in and try to get in the way, and you know, we don't want to cause any problems or upset anybody. That's crazy. Amen. That's crazy. Listen, if you see somebody else trying to preach the gospel to somebody, what you need to do is pray. Amen. And if anything, you need to try to eliminate distractions. Amen. Don't despise a little one. Don't despise somebody else. And I don't know how you could despise anybody more than keeping them from coming to Christ. Amen. Tonight, as we get ready for a verse of invitation, and ask you to stand with me. This week of Vacation Bible School, we're going to do all that we can to bring little ones to Christ. We put up all these decorations and we have all this fun, silly stuff. I promise you, it's not about all that stuff. Amen. It's for the gospel's sake. Amen. This we do for the gospel's sake. We do it to bring those kids to Christ. And friend, I want to beg with you, don't be a hindrance. Amen. I want to plead with you, don't be a hindrance. Do all that you can to get those kids here and to bring them to Christ. And don't be one who would hold them back. You might say, well, they're awfully little. I don't know if they're old enough. You let them believe in Jesus. Amen. Let them believe. Amen. If we're to come as a little child, why would we keep a child from coming? We want to see them come to Christ. He came to save the lost. Let's be careful that we're not an offense, a stumbling block, that we don't cause someone else to sin against the Lord. Tonight, as we're going to sing
page 544,
if the Spirit of God is convicting your heart, if He's drawing you tonight, would you come? Maybe tonight you just want to come and pray for Bible school. Pray for kids to come to Christ. Whatever's on your heart, you come.